Duffed in here. All righty. Amen. Hey, let's pray, okay? Tis the season I think I can be super distracted. Do you know, this is me, probably nobody in the world like this, but my Christmas tree is the biggest distraction in my life. Do you know why? I'm like that little kid. Every day I'm like, I just keep rearranging the ornaments, and I should be sitting there and just having a quiet time with the Lord. So, but one of my kids shamed me, into having a Christmas tree. So I get distracted. Anybody get distracted? Okay, anybody get distracted because it's Sunday morning, you know? One time I was so distracted, this is a funny story. I don't know if they still do, they have the senior project that kids have to do in high school, and they dish it out when, like your sophomore year? Well, it is getting close to the senior year, or we're in the senior year, and this one kid of mine was like, I said, what's your senior project? Oh, I don't know. Well, I kind of went ballistic, and I hop in the car, and I drive to the high school principal's office and march myself in there, kind of going bananas, like, what? And then I looked down, and he was so calm, and we had a good relationship later, but he was so calm, and I looked down, and I have two different shoes on. Okay? So distractions and this and that, so let's pray, in case you're one of those today, all right? Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come because, Jesus, you made a way for us to come into the presence of God. And right now, we just let go. Senior projects, whatever, Christmas tree ornaments, the things that need to be done, the things that we don't have answers for. And, Lord, we just let them go right now. And we just take a deep breath and say, Lord, I'm here. This is the best place I can be in your presence. And, Lord, I just open my ears to hear from you this morning, to hear from your word, to hear through your Holy Spirit. And I thank you. I am going to gobble it all up and walk out of here better than before. And everybody said, amen. Okay. So we kind of like to do series around here. You know why? Really, the truth is, if you don't make it every week, you'll kind of get a flavor if we do it for a couple of weeks. So I really, this has been on my heart for like 6 months, and what I want to talk about is words, all right? So if you have your note card, this is words part one, the living word, okay? And you know, words are kind of interesting. Words are kind of interesting because God decided to use words. He chose them. I think of a million things the Lord could have chosen. He decided to use words. He decided to use words to create the unseen realm, to create the seen realm. He decided to create all of that with words. Everybody say words. How about that? Words, okay? And the Bible says he created the world and it was without form and void and was chaos. And then he spoke words and it turned into paradise. That's pretty amazing. Yeah? That's pretty amazing. And then God chose words to literally bring you into his kingdom. He chose to speak words. Words would cause you to come in to be his child. That's pretty amazing. And then, after all that, he said words would cause you to grow and to mature and to be spiritually strong. Words, how about that? Everybody say words. Yeah, all right. And then he said, this is where we're going today. If you put my word into you, I will cause you to speak those words, and it will create, and it will change, and it will actually make you into a weapon. How about that? Words. So, we're going to talk a lot about words today, all right? Now, if you were to say, hey, Pastor D, what really excites you? Now, not in the natural, because I might say dark chocolate covered with almonds and, you know, and almonds and stuff like that. But what excites me spiritually, okay? What is something that really excites me spiritually? And hands down, and I know most of you would agree on the same thing, when I see a person come and receive Jesus, man, make me smile, really make me cry and smile at the same time. That really excites me, okay, when people give their heart to Jesus. And then another thing after that excites me when I see them starting to grow, like grow spiritually and grow and know the Lord and grow into all these great things. Man, that does good. And YCF, I always have to look this up. YCF has been in action for 38 years. And I have had the privilege to watch a lot of this go down. It's just been amazing, all right? And I've watched people come in to this house, and their world has just been blown up. And then I watch them as they stay, and this word gets into them, and it starts, the pieces start coming back together again. God's word in them. And I go, man, that's just amazing. And then I've watched people come in here, and they got some issues going on. Anybody ever come in here and have a few issues? Or like issues of addiction and chemical addiction, sin addiction, all right? And I've watched God get into their lives and set them free. Anybody get set free? Woohoo! All right? And then I've watched God do miracles. And sometimes we think miracles are just this physical body. But I've watched people come in here and, you know, we say they don't even have two nickels to rub together. They're just in the poor, poor, poor. And I've watched the Word of God get into them, them be obedient to the Word of God, and God starts prospering them. Anybody that happened to you? I started this walk with Jesus a little bit in debt, and I've watched God just change all that. So I've watched people come in here, and they've been oppressed, depressed, and I've watched God set them free through the Word of God. So we are going to talk about the Word, because in case you didn't notice, it does some amazing things. Everybody say the Word of God does amazing things. Yeah. So here we go. So think about the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples, we really don't know a lot about what their life was before Jesus, except for five of them. Five of them in the Gospels, you'll hear about what their life was before Jesus. And four of them were professional fishermen. Four of those guys were professional fishermen. They weren't educated. They didn't have any plaques on the wall saying they have this degree and that degree, right? They were, we would call, uneducated that way. But you know what? They were really successful in catching fish and selling fish. They were successful fishermen. Occasionally they had some dud nights, you read in your Bible. But anyway, so these guys are fishermen and they're not educated. And God comes along, Jesus comes in along, and they meet him, and he changes their world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they became world changers, because they met Jesus, right? And then, okay, so those are our disciples that are fishermen. And then we've got this guy, Matthew. Matthew's one of the disciples, but Matthew, before he met Jesus, what was he? A tax collector. Now, you might have an opinion right now on tax collectors, but let me tell you, it's nothing like tax collectors in the Bible. They were extortionists. They were thieves. They just took. And so these tax collectors were, taking money from people. So let me back up, a little backup story. Rome had conquered Israel, all right? So they were under their control. They were under Rome's control, and Rome wanted tribute, AKA money. They wanted taxes, right? So Rome wanted taxes from Israel, all righty? And what would happen is they would have to pay taxes on all businesses and all people. And then we have this Jewish tax collectors, and there were a lot of Jewish tax collectors, and they would come knocking on your door and say, hey, the Roman government wants 10%, and I want 10% too. And you're like, you're ready to say no, but you know who was standing on the right side and the left side of these guys? The Roman soldiers. So you weren't able to say no, because if not, they're going to shove you in jail. So they would say, hey, I want, the Roman government wants 10%, and by the way, I want 10%. And you know what they did with these soldiers? They probably greased the palm of their hands, the tax collector, and says, I'm going to slip you 2%, but I'm keeping the rest. So this is what, when you hear about tax collectors in the Bible, okay? And this is this guy, Matthew, all righty? He is a crazy thief, and then Matthew encounters Jesus. And Jesus changes his life. He becomes this pure and holy guy, and he goes and writes the first book of the Gospel of Matthew. You talk about change, that's a big change, right? Okay, so we've got the fisherman, we've got this tax collector, and then later on we come into this guy named the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, before he met Jesus, he was a Pharisee, he was a Jewish leader, and he hated Christians. Okay, he hated them. And he's running around all of Israel trying to find out who the Christians are, going to your house, and he'd throw you into jail. And he even condoned some murders. Anybody read about Paul? Paul, wrong guy. All right. And then God gets a hold of him. And he has this big encounter with Jesus. And this guy is so changed that he writes 3/4 of the New Testament because God has changed him. And you know, I got to throw one more guy in here. So you know this guy, Thomas. Thomas, what do we say about Thomas? The doubter. Unless I put my fingers in his hand and then, okay? You know, this is Thomas, okay? But listen to this. Thomas got changed. And he went into what we would call today modern India. And he evangelized modern India, what we would call modern India. I think that's a little bit of a change, right? All right, so this is what I want you to think about. Here is God who changes people in the Bible. And I'm looking at a whole bunch of you, and I know he has changed your life. And no matter who you are, he would like to change your life and change your world. So, you know, I always say, this is my big idea. If you're taking notes, you're smarter than a fifth grader, write this down. They're going to pop this on the screen. Ready? Write this down. God's word changes our world. So, everybody wave this. God's word changes our world. If you have it on your phone, you can wave your phone. Just don't go to Facebook, all right? God's word changes our world. It does, all right? So what do I mean? Everything that has to do with you literally can be changed through this, okay? I ain't lying. It's in the word, okay? Now, I know a bunch of you like to read like I do. Okay, the rest of you, I'm believing God, okay? But I love to read. You come to my house, I got my chair. You know my chair? Don't sit in my chair. And next to my chair, I got my little end table. And I always have about 4 books and 2 Bibles. And I got colored markers, you know. I like to read. Somebody asked me recently, what's your hobby? And I was like, I think just reading. So I'm going to get some more. But I like to read, all right? Now, I read other things besides the Bible and books about the Bible and stuff. Like in the beginning, How to Fix It books. So I got one as a Christmas present a long time, How to Fix Plumbing. Because I didn't know what I was doing. So I read fix-it books. I read cookbooks. Okay, I read history. I love history. I know, I was one of those nerdy ones, okay? I love that. And I read self-help books, okay? But here's what I've noticed about all the books that I've read. If they're not about the Bible, they're good. I'm not reading anything trash. I gave that up a long time ago. Okay, I'm reading some good stuff. And you know, you should sharpen your intellect. You know, you can read some other things. That's really good. But none of those books come close to what the Bible does. God's word will change your world. Amen? So, open up your Bibles to John chapter 6. Let's go there. Okay, I'm just skipping around here. John chapter 6, verse 36. John chapter 6, verse 36. I want to read you some scriptures. This is red letter. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking. Listen to what he says. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. So guys, we can't change the deep inside the Spirit. Okay, but the Spirit of God can change this, all right? And then he goes on to say, the words, now this is Jesus, and he goes, the words I have spoken. So all the words that Jesus spoke, all the words in the gospel, all the words in the Bible, that's what he's talking about. So he says, the words that I have spoken to you, right? The Bible, they're full of spirit and life. If you're taking notes, write that down. The word is full of spirit and life, all right? So this is what makes this book different than any other book you're going to read. And listen, that one on plumbing, it helped me out, I tell you what. But this book is so different because it's full of life and it's wrapped in the Spirit of God, and it will do things in you. Amen. All right, now, I read fiction, nothing the matter with that. I watch movies, good movies, nothing matter with that. And I even read some self-help books, nothing around about that. But listen, you start reading this book, you start reading it, it's alive and it's wrapped with the Spirit of God, and it will do amazing things in you. Amazing, all right? Now, listen to Hebrews chapter 4. Jump over to there. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God, what? Just check and see if you're reading it. For the word of God speaks. All right, now listen. I have never been brought up to heaven and sat down to next to Jesus, okay, where he was talking to me. I have never heard the voice of God with these ears. I've never been sitting down having coffee and all this stuff with the Lord. But listen, guys, every time you read this, this is alive and it speaks. It's not just like a fix-it book. This is alive and it will speak to you, okay? All righty. Where am I? All right, so the next part. The word of God speaks, right? It's alive and it's full of power. That's that word dunamis, and it means the explosive creative power. This book is explosive creative power. Guys, I'm telling you, you gotta see this book different, because it'll change your life, all right? So it's explosive, all righty? So when we read that word and we get it inside of us and or somebody reads it to us or you're listening to me read it, it's like power inside of you, all right? Now, I'm reading out of the Amplified, and so it amplifies it. Listen to what it says. This word, right, the living word, making it active, operative, energizing, effective. Guys, you get this word inside of you, it'll do amazing things, amazing. All right, and I love this next part. It says, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, back history on that. Before the Roman Empire, swords were these long swords, and they were just sharp on one side. And then the Roman Empire invented a short sword, and it's sharpened on both sides, okay? All right, so this is what he's talking about. This word of God is like one of those sharp swords, and this is what it's going to do. Penetrating the dividing line of the breath of life. That's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Okay, and the immortal spirit, your spirit man, and the joints and the marrow, the deepest parts of your nature. Okay, so this is what I want you to understand. The word of God, your Bible, the Word of God, if you get an understanding that it goes deep inside of you, if you let it penetrate deep inside of you, and you let the Spirit of God wrap around it, I'll tell you what, it'll penetrate your hearts. How many of you know the parable of the sower? The sower went out to sow seed, da-da-da-da-da. There's one part, and it really talks about if your mind is closed, if your heart is closed, it says the word won't go in, right? All right? So it says the word won't go in, all righty? Now, how about if you say, I'm reading my Bible, okay? By the way, I'm in Matthew. All month, I'm in Matthew, and I'm reading it, and I get to this part, and I go, Lord, you know what? I see that scripture. I hear that scripture. Father God, I just want you to open up my understanding. I want it to go deep inside of me. How about you say that every time you open up your Bible, right? And it will do amazing things, all right? All right, so let's keep reading. The next part, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging every thought and purpose of the heart. Okay, that's one of the things why I love reading my Bible. And you know, sometimes I remember years ago, I started with those programs where I'd read my Bible through the year. You know, they'll tell you, read this many chapters in Genesis and then hop over to the New Testament. Okay, those are good. Those are really good, all righty? And then meditating on scriptures. But you know what I found out? What happens when I do that? God starts messing in my business. Oh, yeah, I'm reading this, and I'm going, God, I want you to give me understanding. I want you to speak to me because this is alive. And God starts messing in my business. And sometimes I'll be really honest. I don't want you messing in my business, okay? And he's usually saying, hey, you better watch those words. I'm like, yes. And how about all those other areas in our life where God goes, hey, I want to mess in your business, and it's time to change this, and don't do that, and do that. Don't you love it when God, look at your neighbor and say, God, don't you love it when God messes in your business? Yeah. All right. It's amazing. It is. It's amazing. So as I was sitting down this week and preparing for this lesson, I wrote this down. What does the Word of God do? Okay, so you go out to buy any gadget and gizmo and thingamajigger, all right? Before you buy it, don't you want to know what it does? Right? Okay, so I was sitting there, okay, what does the Word of God do? And I came up with 9, and then I decided to put the brakes on. So they're going to put them on the screen. I'm going to read them to you. You don't have to write them down, all right? But this is what this Word will do in you. Ready? It will birth us, grow us, change us, rescue us, equip us, heal us, comfort us, lead us, inspire us. Anybody have that happen to you, this with this Word? Yeah, all right. So it's amazing, all right? So again, we are talking about the living Word of God, the living Word of God that's alive, and if we get it into our hearts, into our lives, it'll do great things, all right? So I'd like to share 4 of those, okay? So I'll get you out here before 1 o'clock, right? So I'm only going to share 4, all righty? And because if you get one of these moments of what this is, the living Word of God, we can change our life. We can change others' lives. We can be so powerful in the kingdom of God, all right? So if you're taking notes, 1, because you're all smart like a 5th grader, write this down. God's Word births us. God's Word births us, all right? And it gives birth inside of us, all righty? And it's amazing and it's really powerful. Now, you know the part of the Bible that that brings people to Jesus, just the part of the Bible that brings people to Jesus, we call that the gospel, right? Y'all hear the gospel, the good news, the good message. What does Andrew Womack say? The almost too good to be true, which is really out of the Hebrew or the Greek. I was like, really? I didn't know that. So this is the gospel, the part of the Bible that brings people to Jesus we call the gospel, okay? Now, so the Lord says, hey, you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. The grace of God through faith. And when you have that faith, it comes by hearing the Word of God, right? You all know those scriptures. Now, when I started hearing the gospel, I was just, okay, I was pretty hard-hearted. I was pretty close-minded, and it took me a while. It took me about a year. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I am desperate. I need this, okay? And that is why we keep sharing the gospel, because you might run into people like me that takes them a year, all right? So we keep sharing it. So listen to what Romans chapter 1 says. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. So we know what the gospel is, right? It's the part of the scriptures, really, that goes through the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. That's the part that brings people to Christ. So Paul's going, hey, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, right? It's about Christ and the power of God. That's that word power, dunamis, the explosive creative power, all right? And it's about the power of God at work saving everyone who believes, first the Jew and next the Gentiles. So in Bible days, who were the Gentiles? Y'all raise your hand. Anybody who was not Jewish. Do we have any people of Jewish faith? Okay, every hand up. You were a Gentile. You're still a Gentile. Okay, don't go calling people that though. All righty. So it's at work saving everyone. This powerful gospel, if you believe, will save everyone. Hallelujah, right? So I thought of an example of this. I was like, Lord, how do I get this to? And I thought about the wind, okay? Now, how many of you know there's wind? But how many of you have seen the wind? I can't see the wind, but I can surely see the effect of the wind. So this past week, I was working at my desk at home, and right on my right-hand side, I have this nice window, and I have this nice view. It goes down, my green grass, and then I've got trees, and then it goes down, and then there's the woods, and then there's deer. So I just love looking out of my window. It's one of those distractions, okay? But I'm looking out of my window, and it's a windy day. Now, I can't see the wind, right? But I can see these trees. Okay? And if I would open up the window, I'd probably get a breeze in here, all right? So I can't see the wind, but I can see the effect of the wind. I can't see the wind, but I can see the results of the wind, okay? So here's the thing. We can't see the gospel, the good news too good to be true. We can't see it when it goes into people's lives. But I look at you all, and I see the result of the gospel. Right? You can see change in people. You can see it. It's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can see the result, okay? So let me tell you a story. A long, long time ago, I won't tell you how long, when Jack and I were out at Bible school, it was our first year out there, and our church that we went to, Friday night they would have witnessing on the streets. You'd go out two by two, because that's in the Bible, and you'd go walk around neighborhoods and stuff like that. So we would meet, I don't remember because it's been long time ago. So we'd meet like at 6 o'clock and we'd have prayer and we'd be praying about the people that we would encounter, that God would open their hearts, and then we'd pray about the words that we would speak, the gospel, okay? So we'd pray and then we'd send people out. Two by two. But half of us would stay back and continue praying. The other half would hit the streets. And this was my week that I stayed back. I was like, ah. So Jack went out with his buddy John. And Jack and John were a hoot together, usually just being goofy and stuff like that. So they went out on the streets and they wandered off, no surprise, wandered off, the two of these guys, and they ended up by a biker bar, okay? This biker bar, and there is blasting music coming out of the door, and there's these big tattooed, before tattoos were really big, this is how long ago this was, like the dinosaur age, okay? These big guys standing on the wall, you know, like that, and then there's this one guy standing over here by himself. So Jack and John go, okay, let's go talk to him. And then Jack says, you sure we should go? And John says, nope. And then Jack says, we're probably to get our butts kicked from one side to the other. And John goes, let's do it for Jesus. You know, gosh, just, that's probably why I wasn't with him. I would have said, let's get out of here, okay? So they go over there. Music is blasting. Big guys are leaning on the outside of this building. They're tattooed and stuff like that. And this one guy they walk up to, and they walk up to him, and by the way, Jack and John back then probably together, I mean, they were just long and lean, wore their shirts tucked in, clean shaven, no beard, and they walk up to this guy, and they go, hey, can we talk to you about Jesus? And the guy's defenses go up, okay? You could actually see that. And then he says, well, I just want to tell you a story, and he kind of just didn't feel too threatened. And they go on, and Jack starts telling him about his testimony, about how God, he met Jesus, he found out that Jesus died for him, and he found out that, you know, he would set him free, and he did, and he tells his whole testimony of being set free, and the guy is just listening. He didn't hit him, all right? He didn't run away. He didn't run over them with his motorcycle. He is starting to receive, and you could tell. Now, like the wind, you don't see the gospel, but you could see the effect. Because pretty soon, as Jack is sharing his testimony and saying how God changed his life so much, he's like, his eyes are tearing up. You know, he's going, I got something in my eye. All right, his eyes are tearing up. And then John nudges Jack and goes, go in for the clothes, go in for the clothes. You know what that means? Ask him if you want to pray. So Jack says, hey, you want to pray? You want to pray? You want to ask Jesus into your life? And the guy said, yes. And John and Jack look at each other and they go, man, this stuff's powerful. They are green back then, okay? And nobody's ever done that, right? Okay, so they pray for him. But here's the thing. You know, you couldn't see the gospel, but you started seeing the effect. All right, you saw this guy's countenance change, okay? And so he prayed with him. This biker guy prayed with him, and he received Jesus. And the reason why I really know this story is the next day we went and picked this guy up and took him to church with us. Amazing. Amazing. It was amazing. And so that's my story here. Guys, when we share the gospel, it is powerful. Whether you see it, we just do it by faith. It is going in there. So that's why we share it, and then we share it, and then we share it, okay? And it is powerful, okay? And that's why at the end of the service, I will usually say, hey, if anybody, and I will today, the altar call, all righty? So turn over, that's my story, turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you've cleansed up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. By the way, this is the Message Bible. This is what I'm reading, okay? Okay, this is where really what I want to get to, the verse 23. Your new life is not like your old life. So your old life is when you got born, baby born, okay? So your new life, right, is not like your old life. Then he goes on to say, the old birth, I love the Message Bible, it just doesn't mince words, ready? Your old life comes from mortal sperm. Don't you just love the Message Bible, okay? Okay, then it goes on, the new birth comes from the living word. The new life comes, that's the gospel, you guys. The gospel that we receive brought new life, right? Okay, and then it goes on to say, just think, a life conceived by God. Now, the reason why I'm reading this to you is so I can look you in the eye and say, if you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you are a new person. You're not of this world. You're recreated into his image. You stand before him today, holy. Everybody say holy. Blameless. Woo! Forgiven, pure, just beautiful. That's the way he sees you. And then he also sees you. You're now a child of God. You're one of his kids. That's how God sees you. Amen. Okay, so let's go on to verse 24. That's why the prophet said, the old life is a grass life. Its beauty is short-lived as a wildflower. Grasses dry up, flowers wilt. God's word goes on forever. It's eternal, right? And the word that was, and this is the word that conceived a new life. Guys, the real you is an eternal being. And when you ask Jesus Christ into your life through the gospel, those powerful words, it gets inside of you and it changes you. Tell somebody, I'm so changed. I am so changed. Matter of fact, what did I tell you the other day today? Crystal, you are spectacular. That's how changed you are, all right? You need to say that to yourself, all righty? Okay, now, you may not be able to see it, but the more you get into this Word of God, you'll find out about it. You may not be able to see how spectacular God has created you, but the more you get into the Word of God, you'll find out. Amen. All right, number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. God's word grows us. Man, do we need to grow. Tell your neighbor, you need to grow. No, they're going to love you. All right. So, your spirit needs food, right? And the Bible talks in the Word of God that the Word of God is like bread. It's like meat. It's like water. It's like milk. And all those things in the natural will sustain us. Listen, the Word of God, that's what the Word of God will do with us, all righty? Now, sometimes I go thinking, none of you, all right? Like I'm thinking about Christians that don't eat enough spiritual food. It's none of you guys, right? But I think about some of these Christians that don't eat enough spiritual food, all right? And so, how do you eat spiritual food? Come on, wave it. You read this. You meditate, okay? Read your Bible. By the way, read your Bible daily. And you grow, righty? All right? But you know what else you can do? Especially if you're struggling in an area. Anybody ever struggle with one area in your life? Two areas in your life? 10 areas? Yeah, okay. Amen. One honest person back there. Listen, this is what you can do if you're struggling in an area in your life. Google search. Google, can you look up scriptures in the New Testament that have to do with healing? Because I'm struggling with healing. Or Google, give me scriptures that have to do with overcoming anger. Google knows. Google, you get the idea? You get the idea? Okay, now, Google will tell you all these scriptures. Now, you could write them down. You could print them out. You can save them on your whatevers, all righty? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? So back in the day, I forgot to bring these up. These are mine. I'd have my sheets of paper, right, Liz? Sheets of paper. Okay, all right. How to possess the mind of Christ by reading this. So I have the mind. Okay, anyway, if anybody wants them, they're good. So back in the day, that's what we do because, you know, of the dinosaur ages, okay? But now you just go, hey, Google, okay? So then what if you would take just, you know, Google spits out about 10 of them or more. What if you take one? Everybody put one finger up. Take one scripture and read it every day for a week. And if you're really struggling, read that one scripture every day for 2 weeks, okay? What happens if you would do that, all right? And then what happens if halfway through your day, it's lunchtime, all right? And you would take that one scripture and you'd read it. And if you're not eating with somebody, you could read it a couple times out loud. And then what if, before you go to bed at night, you take that one scripture and you read it, okay? The Bible calls that meditating on the word. Now you know a big word, okay? It calls it meditating. It's just chewing on food, right? Chewing on food. And what if you did that? What do you think it would do to you? Oh, come on. It'd grow you, okay? It would grow you, all righty? Now, what if you're not feeding on the word? What if you only come here? I'm so glad you come here. I'm always amazed every Sunday. I'm telling you, I go home, I'm like, what? Okay, but, you know, what if you only came here and you didn't feed on the word? That's all you got. What if you didn't have any scriptures, okay? Well, so I had this thought, okay? And I was thinking of malnutrition people, malnutrition children. They're going to pop this picture. I'm going to gross you out. This is a starving child. Right? Okay. Your spirit is eternal. It's forever. Okay? But it can look malnutritioned. Okay, you can put that down. That's just so sad to look at, okay? Okay? And I don't want to have to say any of your spirits look like that, right? Because I love you, and I'll be in your face. Gotta do that, all right? Okay? So I want this, I wanted you to see this, and I want to impact you that you would not let your spirit, oh, come on, Rachel, pull it. We can do this. I know, okay? All righty. So, the Bible talks about the Word of God feeds you, right? Your spirit man needs to be fed. There was a girl that I know, she worked up at the hospital, and she came to me one day, and you know, those hospital scrubs, thank you, Laura, I was looking at scrubs, they got pockets all over the place, and I ran into her at the hospital. Actually, she was wheeling me down the corridor to have my gallbladder taken out. I was like, oh, yay, people from church helping me out. And she's talking, and she goes, let me show you something, Pastor D. Meanwhile, I'm like, come on. And she whips out these cards, got a bunch of them, and she had scriptures written on them. And she said, whenever I get a chance, I pull this card out, and I read it. And if I'm in an elevator by myself, I pull it out, and I read it. I was like, man, she's meditating. She's chewing on food, and she's growing. And let's be extreme. Come on. How many of you set alarms on your phone? How about you set every 3 hours the alarm goes off, and you're like, oh, time to get my scripture out. Okay? Because listen, guys, we need to grow up. We need to be spiritually mature so God can put change in us. All right, just saying. Okay, moving on. Turn over to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Where am I? Turn the page. Right now. Matthew 4. This is Jesus. But he answered and said, it is written. Whew. that man shall not live by bread alone. That's any food we're talking about. You don't live by burgers only. You don't live by green salads only. Some of you haven't had one in 100 years. Okay, but he's saying you don't live by food alone. That's what he's saying, okay? And the next part he says, so he says, you don't feed on, blah, blah, blah. You shan't, blah, 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 blah. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Praise God, praise God. Guys, you've got to see this book. You should be so hungry that you're going, wow, this is what's going to cause me to grow. All right? Amen, amen. Okay? And when you get this word into you, it'll change your world. All right? But, I was like, but you got to do it. All righty? Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Ooh, we're doing good. We're doing good. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, that's a good idea, and all deceit, that's a really good idea, and hypocrisy, and every envy, and all slander, those are good ideas. And then, this is what I'm after, and like newborn babies, okay? So he's not saying, hey, I want you to be a baby, or a spiritual baby, because Peter's writing to people that certainly weren't, okay? But he says, I want you to be like newborn babies. That's your attitude, okay? That's what he says you could do. So let's read it again. And like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, okay? Phew. I remember reading that. And I'm just going to be really honest, reading that scripture. You know, scriptures that you don't understand or you don't want to do because God's messing with your business. And they just go, flip that page. Come back next year. Flip that page. Okay? And then pretty soon I decided I might put on my big girl panties and grow up and say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand this. Matter of fact, Lord, you know, we used to laugh. I just want to say this honestly. Well, if you're not saying it honestly, that makes you a liar, right? So, but I was being honest with the Lord. And I said, hey, Lord, you know, I really don't have this insatiable hunger for your word. I mean, I like it, but I really don't have this insatiable hunger for the word. So I started praying. Everybody say, pray. Yeah. I started praying and I said, Lord, I ask you to give me this deep desire for your word. All right. And you know what? We can pray this right now. How about we pray this? Anybody want to pray this prayer? Okay, here we go. All right, how about, Father, give me a deep hunger for your word more than I've ever had before. Lord, I want this, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, y'all look so hungry now, I can just tell. Okay, all right, so. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't love Jesus. That doesn't mean you didn't love Jesus, okay? You know what it really means? This world is so distracting. Like my Christmas tree. You know, okay? That's all it means, okay? All righty, now. So I got to thinking about newborn babies, okay? Do you know, newborn babies, they eat every 2 to 3 hours, and sometimes I think less. And they're screaming, and you shove this bottle in their mouth, and they're like, gulp, 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 and you're like, slow down, just enjoy it. No, they're drinking and guzzling it down like there's no tomorrow, right? They're like, oh, just feed me, feed me, feed me, okay? And all God is saying is, hey, why don't you have an appetite like that? Well, you just can't wait, that you want to guzzle it down, okay? So I Googled this. Google and I hang out a lot. How often do newborn babies drink? And I was right, 2 to 3 hours. 2 months old, ready? 3 to 4 hours. 6 months old, 4 to 5 hours. Every 4 to 5 hours. Listen, they like to eat, all right? They like to eat, okay? Now, you cannot read and stop every 2 hours at your job lane. Fired, right? Okay, so you can't do that, all righty? But please don't. But, you know, you can meditate on that one scripture that you pulled out, that you've been struggling, and this is the answer. You can just keep meditating on it, right? All right? So God is just saying, hey, develop a hunger for my word. Okay, and don't ever say to Pastor D, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't like to read. Oh, my gosh, I am twitching, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, number three, here we go. Number three, God's word feeds us, right? Okay, oh, excuse me, frees us, all right? It will free you in every area of your life. Oh, come on, Pastor D, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. God's word will free you in every area of your life, okay? But, okay, this is the big, you know, the flashing light. It's a process. I know, I don't like that. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but God's word will work and free you. Amen? Okay, Romans 12, 2. Most of you can do cartwheels and recite it, but hey, let's look at it. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Don't let this world press you into its mold, okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, how do you renew your mind? Come on. Read your Bible. Meditate. All right, you guys are good, okay? And that will renew your mind. Ready? And that word transformed is the Greek word metamorphi. Of course, you know, I don't speak Greek, so I probably butchered it. But y'all can tell what the English word is. Come on. Metamorphosis. Tadpoles, frogs. I'm not singing the song, okay? Caterpillars, butterflies. Right? All right? There's a total change. And all God is saying is, hey, if you put this in you, I can metamorphosis you. New word. All right? Okay. Now, when I look at a tadpole, they're like some alien creature. They're just, besides slimy, okay? But then they change into a frog, right? Right? Okay? So God's saying, hey, listen, I can free you. I can change you. I can set you free. But you have to put this word inside. All right? Now, there are still areas in my life that I am letting, wanting, and letting God change in me. All right? So you know what I do? I just keep feeding on these areas. Okay? And I feed on the word of God, and then God will do a change. So praise God. Listen to what Jesus said. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're talking about God's word frees us. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him. So there's a bunch of people that believed in Jesus, but listen to the next part. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples. So there's people that believe, and then there's people that are disciples. Just saying, come on. All right? And he's also saying, hey, if you want to be a true disciple, this is what you're going to do. The next part, if you remain faithful to my teaching. So what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be faithful to his teaching? Real simple. Come on, guys. Real simple. It just means, hey, I'm going to look in my Bible, and I'm going to find this scripture, and I'm going to say, hey, God, how do I put this into me? How do I apply this? Really simple. Okay? That's faithful to the teachings, all righty? Okay? And so here's what Jesus said, and this is the results. Ready? Remember, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Ready? He said this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay. Put on your seatbelts. Keep smiling at me. The truth doesn't set you free. No, it's the truth that you know and understand and apply in your life that will set you free. I'm going to say that again. It's the truth that you know. You know. I heard the gospel preached to me for about a year, and one day I knew and I understood. And it changed my life, okay? So the truth, the word of God, the promises of God, anything like that, okay? It's the truth that you know and you understand and that you apply in your life, okay? But guess what? It's a process, right? It's a process, all right? So what are you going to do? Keep feeding, all right? And God will do the work, but you got to keep feeding, all righty? Now, if you're feeling a little discouraged, can I give you some encouragement? Ready? Just start feeding the word of God more than you did yesterday, okay? Don't tell me how much. just up it a little bit, all righty? Okay? And you start feeding on the word of God more, and God gets inside of you, and he does the change. Praise God. All right, last one. Woo, we're going to do this. God's word weaponizes us, okay? God's word will make you a weapon. Turn you into a weapon. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, here we go. Ephesians 6, verse 17. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? The word of God. So the word of God is a weapon. That's pretty easy. Okay? The word of God is a weapon. And that's the Bible that's coming out of your mouth. You start speaking that word coming out of your mouth. Okay? And it's like a weapon. Alrighty? Let's read verse 18. And pray. We love to pray, right? Come on, smile. We love to pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. We love to pray and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Okay. So prayer can become a weapon. Everybody say, prayer can become a weapon, right? Okay? But you have to pray God's word for it to be a weapon, all righty? All right, so, and then guess what? If you're praying God's word, it's a weapon, man, it'll just chase the devil out of your house. He don't like the word. He's going to stick around unless you're, no, speak the word, right? Okay, now. God's word changes our world, all righty? Open up to John chapter 5. As a young Christian, I read this and I'm like, I don't get it. Flip the page. And it took years because I was a slow learner, okay? But I get it now. Listen to this. John chapter 5, verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you. But if you remain, that means just keep believing. Keep speaking the word. Just keep, okay? This is the part I didn't get, but I get it now. You may ask for anything, and it'll be granted unto you. So I remember praying, and I mean, I had more prayer failures than could fill up the creek. I'd be praying, and it was just bad. I can't even remember how many failures. Anybody have one of those? Yeah. No, but don't raise your hand, okay? But this is what I learned. Took me a while. The more I pray God's word, everybody, God's word. It's not, oh God, oh. That's not God's word, okay? Though, he loves you, all right? But the more you pray God's word, the more you pray God's word, the more you speak God's word, the more you pray God's word, God answers his word, okay? He doesn't go, oh, she's crying. She's went through a bucket of Kleenexes. I'm going to answer her prayer. Nope. The more you pray God's word, the more you pray God's word, he answers his word, all right? And so we're going to pray the word, and we're going to see results, okay? Hey, anybody excited about the truth that God's word changes your world? Anybody excited? Put on an excited face for crying out loud, okay? Can we all say, I'm excited about this truth? Woo! All right. Are you excited about what God's word has done? What God's word is doing, and what God's word can do in your life. Whew. So come back next week. Let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Just here. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this incredible truth of what your word can change our world. Father, Father, we just thank you that we now hunger for more of your word. And Father, we will read your word more. We'll meditate on it. We'll get those one scriptures, Father, and we'll just suck on it every day, Father, because your word changes our world. And Father, we just thank you that we desire to know the truth, and when we know that and we understand that, we will put it into action. And I thank you that you will answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more thing. Best part of the whole day. Bow your heads, close your eyes, freeze. Used to tell kids, freeze. All right. If you're here and you don't know about your forever, your eternity, and we kind of explained it here, okay? But Jesus came with his life so he could give you life. Amen? And he's alive, and he said, whoever would call on his name, he would save. He would save. And right now, I'm not asking you if you want to join a church. I'm not asking if you were raised in church. I'm not even asking if you believe in God or you don't believe in God. What I'm asking is, do you believe that gospel that Jesus came and he died for you for your sins and the sins of the world. All right, that's what I'm asking. And maybe you're like that biker guy and you're like, yes, pray for me. And Jesus said, whoever calls on his name, he would save and he would give you eternal life and you would be forever his, all right? So if that's you, I'm not asking you to come up front. Everybody just be real still. I want you to pray with me, all right? I want you to pray with me. And all of us that have already prayed this, we're going to pray this again. Also, maybe you prayed this prayer and you have just moved the Lord Jesus out of your life and you're like, I'm coming back. You can pray that prayer. We call that rededicating your life. You can pray that prayer out loud. So everybody, let's say this together. Lord God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I'm a sinner and I need you, Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, I ask you into my life. I'm now a child of God. And I will forever follow you. And I will daily feed on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says a miracle took place. Miracle! Miracle! And it says all of heaven rejoices. They're like, yay! The child is born, okay? The kingdom of God is increased. So I just want to say, if you prayed that prayer, we are celebrating. We are so excited. And we just celebrate with you. You have a miracle. You are now a child of God. And if you prayed that prayer, would you come up? I've got altar ministers. They have a Bible. You know, novel thing, a Bible that you can read every day, and they have some booklets. And if you want to come up for prayer for anything, my altar ministers, come on up. We'd love to pray with you. All right? The rest of y'all, it is so